You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
My name is Nayelo Pondwana. Good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for sticking around. We are still together. It's only the first hour, hey? We have a lot of ground to cover, you and I. It's only the first hour, and we are moving on to our next segment, the Ask a Pastor segment, where we have Mfundisi Nhlanhla Mabeng, who's joining us to give us some perspective on our question for today. And remember, this is your segment. It's not mine. I'm doing my best to ask all the various facets and dimensions and angles for you. Send your question, and I promise, I will not let it go until we have visited all the various angles in the various questions you sent. Today's question is, should someone who drinks alcohol or smokes still serve as a role model in the faith? Hi, yakucela. Mfundisi Mabeng, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Naya.
Yes,
I don't like the way you're laughing because it means you want to get me into trouble.
Never. The day will never come for me. Even if I try, I will never succeed with you. I'll never.
All right.
All right. Mfundisi, our question is very, very odd for me. Should someone who drinks, now it doesn't say someone who's an alcoholic.
Yes.
It says someone who drinks alcohol or smokes still serve as a role model in the faith. Your response to that, Mfundisi?
All right, Naya. I think we need to define what do we mean by role model, because there are people that are in church and they are casual drinkers and they smoke from time to time, but they're full members of the church.
Right.
Obviously, this is not what is encouraged by the church, but they're not taking leadership position, and we cannot minimize their interaction with God or their experiences as being real. But we also have the side of people that are elected into positions. And these people, by nature, there are certain prescripts that we put as a church so that as they serve in those, there's certain things that they need not do, including smoking and drinking.
Right.
And because of that, those are also role models. But they are elected people. So I'm trying to say to you that the first group, the one that is not elected, they still become role models in the faith because their experiences are real, just like the experiences of those that do not drink.
Okay.
But out of their experiences, we actually take that which shows how God has acted into their lives.
Mm.
But we do not follow the fact that they are drinkers or they are smokers or so forth.
Right.
And I think we find a lot of this in the Bible as well, that the characters were not really perfect, but there's a whole lot in the interaction of God with them in their lives that we still learn without taking the bad stuff or what is not conventional Christianity. That they were practicing into consideration. But what we're looking at is how God moved and used them so that they could be instruments of his function. Now, there's also the fact that the Bible is giving an injunction in the Pauline writings of a person that's supposed to be a leader and those qualifications, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to say that there's those two categories, but if we're talking just generically about a role model, I think everyone, even the guy that drinks to a stupor on the street, they have a story to tell about how God has acted in their lives. But one thing for sure about alcohol and any intoxicating substance is that it weakens your ability to actually connect spiritually with God on a deeper level, because of the fact that it takes away your ability to actually relate to issues reasonably.
Yeah, and for the purposes of this conversation, to everyone who's listening, before I engage the pastor on his answer, I want us to be very clear that as Seventh-day Adventists at AWR, as SID Media, as the division of the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we hold the view that alcohol is a mocker, and strong drink a brawler. So we do not encourage anyone, even if you think you have rationale or Bible verses, it doesn't change the fact that we would discourage anyone from consuming strong drink or alcohol, which is a brawler and a mocker. So that's the position. So having said that, I have some questions and it's based on the Bible.
All right.
Paul says a person who is to be a deacon or an elder should not be given to too much wine.
Yes.
Implying that you can be an elder or a deacon and drink alcohol, but not too much. How do you respond to that?
Well, my response is that during the times that they were writing that,
right,
there was a whole lot of uses especially for wine, you know, to right. fix the stomach, to cure water that is contaminated as an ale of some sort. Mm. So the issue was just the fact that people must not actually be sitting in a place where they can actually take it to become known for not being in their right senses. Mm. Now, coming to today, the reason why we don't even touch alcohol has got a lot to do with what it symbolizes and what it stands for. Mm. And the things that happen that are coupled with what happens that with what comes with alcohol. Mm. But we actually find that there's other usages of alcohol that are still medicinal. We find it in our cough mixtures. Mm. You know, we find it in our cleaning detergents and all of that. And I don't think when we use those, we are actually contravening. But I'm saying that on the side of Adventism, we're encouraging soberness, as you have just said, and things that are going to actually make our health better and not necessarily kill us.
Come with me to the book of Deuteronomy.
Yes, sir.
Deuteronomy 14.
Mm-hmm.
Allow me to start reading perhaps verse 24.
Okay.
Verse 24 says, if the way be too long for you, so that you are not able to carry it, and it refers to the tithe.
Mm-hmm.
If you are unable to carry it because the place is too far from you, mm-hmm. which Yahweh, your God, shall choose to set his name there. When Yahweh, mm-hmm. your God, shall bless you, then shall you turn it into money and bind mm-hmm. up the money in your hand and shall go to the place which Yahweh, your God, shall choose. And you mm-hmm. shall bestow the money for whatever your soul desires. For oxen, for the sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatever your soul asks of you. And you shall eat there before Yahweh your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household.
Mm.
That's up until verse 26, 24 to 26. This Deuteronomy 14 explains, this part particularly speaks to the third kind of tithe. Out of the three different kinds of tithe, this one is explicitly mentioned as one that you are to buy. One of the things that you can buy is strong drink. And I'm asking, these people are in the presence of God, quite frankly, according to this verse. Wherever they are going, it is God would have guided them, but I want you to go and worship me there by buying whatever your soul desires and rejoice by eating meat and drinking alcohol, a strong drink. Implying that this is a very spiritual person who is guided by God to do this, instructed by Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 24 to 26. How do you respond to that, Mfundisi?
Firstly, I'd say, Naya, that to be fair, you were supposed to give me the verse so that I can do a study on it, and then I'm able to respond and tell you exactly what's going on. Okay. Right now, as you're reading it, I'm so unfamiliar with it, it's not funny.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, I think there's a number of things that you need to actually read out of a text so that you can understand what it's talking about and what is being referenced.
Right.
And you also need to check on the culture that was prevalent so that you can see why is that, that these things would take a mention when you are talking over these things. Now, currently, I am unable to answer to those things. But that's one thing that I can say is that the prohibition on the drinking on the strong drink is something that is evident in the New Testament, where it looks as though after the birth of Christ or him dying on the cross, there's a new injunction for all of those that have been called onto the mission that they need to do it soberly and they need to do it in a way that is not going to prohibit the activities of God in their lives. Now, to use a person that was in Deuteronomy, that would simply take a sheep and go and lay his sins on it so that it can die. I don't know. I don't see much of an injunction on those guys to actually live a life that is what we are living right now after the injunction of the Pauline injunction from the Book of Acts. But I see a lot of people that we are learning about because of the little aspects that we needed to learn out of their lives and their context.
Right.
So you would have seen that Noah, you know, called the people to come into the boat and the people didn't, and he was saved with his family. And then first thing he does is he makes a brew, gets drunk, and these things happen. And this is a person that is that we revere in the faith, and we say he was a man, you know, that listened to the commands of God.
Right.
Hence, I'm saying that we should not take away from Noah the fact that he was a person that listens to God. But there's also a context altogether that had to do with his behavior then.
Right.
And that was not a prevalent condition that was upsetting society at the time.
Right.
But we see a movement in the meeting of the Israelites with other nations, where now the injunction is pulled that please do not, if you are going to be leading, because there is something here that is being built, and that is the presence of God's kingdom with us now. Yeah.
Not a problem. And you're absolutely fair. That's a fair point to say that you're unfamiliar with it. And because we always read our texts out, I'm going to do the very same so that anyone who's listening to this conversation who finds that slightly unsettling, I'm going to read it to you so that you understand the context. And I understand, Mfundisi, I don't expect you to respond to the nitty-gritties of the text. I'm just putting it out there in the public domain. From verse 1, I'm reading it from the English Standard Version. Deuteronomy 14 verse 1 says, "You are the sons of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves or make any baldness on your foreheads for the dead, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." Verse 3, "You shall not eat any abomination. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the rubuck, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. Every animal that parts the hoof and has the hoof cloven in two and chews the cud among the animals you may eat. Yet of those that chew the cud or have the hoof cloven, you shall not eat these: the camel, the hare, or the rock badger, because they chew the cud. Do not part the hoof, are unclean of you or for you. And the pig, because it parts the hoof but does not chew the cud, is unclean for you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not even touch. Verse 9, of all that are in the waters you may eat these: whatever has fins and scales you may eat, and whatever does not have fins and scales, you shall not eat. It is unclean for you. Verse 11, you may eat all the clean birds, but these are the ones that you shall not eat: the eagle, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the falcon of any kind, every raven of any kind, the ostrich, ostrich. That's somebody who likes ostrich that I know. The ostrich, the night hawk, the seagull, the hawk of any kind, the little owl or the short-eared owl, the barn owl, and the tawny owl, the carrion vulture, and the cormorant. The stork, the heron of any kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. And all winged insects are unclean for you. They shall not be eaten. All clean winged things you may eat. Deuteronomy 14:21. You shall not eat anything that has died naturally. You may eat it. Or you may sell it to a foreigner, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. You shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year, and before the Lord your God, in the place that he will choose to make his name dwell there. You shall eat the tithe of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And if the way is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe when the Lord your God blesses you, because the place is too far from you, which the Lord your God chooses to set his name there, then you shall turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand and go to the place that the Lord your God chooses and spend the money for whatever your desire, oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, whatever your appetite craves. And you shall eat there before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. And you shall not neglect the Levite who is within your towns, for he has no portion or inheritance with you. Verse 28, at the end of every 3 years, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in the same year and lay it up within the towns. And the Levite, because he has no portion of inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen. That's all 14 funis. So that's the full context of the chapter. And I totally agree with you again that perhaps you might want to go and study it again if you're uncomfortable responding, and you can talk to us about it on another day. But the reason why I chose the text is because I thought, because it carries three main things that we already have positions on as a Seventh Adventist church. The tithe, we already have a position on the tithe. We already have a position on clean and unclean foods. And the health message, we already have a position on those. I thought it would be an easier response for you. Do you understand, Punis? Well, I'm trying to catch you out.
I hear you. I hear you very well, Naya. But I'm just saying as well that I think our discussion was going to be on the role models.
Absolutely.
No. If people that take this should be role models.
Yes.
And I think we answered that on the first goal to say that these are the issues.
Yeah.
So. And I think we already put a stand that the issue with alcohol is the issue of health first, and also the issue of soberness,
right,
which is injunctions that are in the Bible in the New Testament, acts on go ye therefore. We right. cannot be people that are found in that,
right?
And so, I think because of that, I think on the issue of the role models, we've covered that part. But I'm saying also in this chapter that you've just read, we also need to read it in connection with other biblical injunctions as well, like the issue of that which pollutes does not come from outside, but comes from within. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that if you read such a verse and you take it that it means everything you take doesn't become a pollutant, then you will have a problem. Mm. Hence, I'm saying that that study is needed so that we can actually understand what is it doing, because there are different styles of writing and the author could have been appealing to one of those.
Yeah. So
I'm not running away. I'm saying need, even if we can put a special day for me and you to actually sit down and have a look at it and see what you've come up
I
with.
I will definitely do that in Fudis. No, I totally understand. Yeah. And I'm not suggesting to you a at all in Fudis. I'm not suggesting it at all. I totally understand. So that you know for the coming conversation we're going to have whenever we're set it down for, is that the big issue is the suggestion that people who drink strong drink are not proper role models. This is something that perhaps we may need to address. And that's the context under which I pen down the question, that people who drink strong drink appear here to be given such an injunction to drink strong drink by God himself. And therefore, there needs to be an explanation as to why then are we derogating people who drink strong drink, and yet God put it in his own instructions about the third type of a tithe that you can and you must go and buy whatever desires are in your heart. So when we sit down and talk, that will be the context of my question.
Yeah, but it mustn't look as though we have come up with that outside of the Bible. Because I'm saying that it is the Bible that says that we should be sober.
Right.
Because the devil is after us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, we'll
get
into it.
And I'm saying to you that is a biblical teaching and various other verses as well that speak about soberness.
Right.
So I'm saying that, yes, this needs a careful study, but it also needs the study coupled with other issues that are coming from the Bible so that we can have a good understanding of what it is that is being spoken of.
Absolutely. We will get into that, Mfundisi. Thank you very much for your time.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.